Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Kubal. Today, I have me a very special guest, Scott Killian. Scott, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, excellent, excellent. It's always great to see somebody. I know I saw Shmi Snowball and John share your book cover
Oh,
first
yeah.
and for book one, and I was like, "Oh, what the hell is this? And why has nobody told me?" Because I am everywhere. Like I'm picking stones up, you know. Like I'm shouting from rooftops. Like I am trying to tailor every algorithm on every social media app to give me every like fantasy, sci-fi, and horror author I can possibly find. So I could not believe that you were about to release book one, and I had no idea. Like it drove me nuts. So I've been working double time, just so everybody knows, so I don't miss anything. But I was like, oh, this looks really cool. This is, you know, like my type of subgenre. So I was really happy, you know, to, you know, follow you, pre-order the book, and, you know, get you on. Particularly, you know, with book two and stuff coming now, in March, right?
Yeah.
So I had that pre-ordered, so I'm like really, really excited. I'm hoping by the time February rolls around and this drops that I'll have been able to read book one. I don't want to screw future me over by saying that ahead of time, but that is my goal. It is on my 2025 reading list. So future Dan, if you're seeing this, I hope we're at that point. But yeah, I'm glad that, you know, I could, you know, find you, really in, get you on today, and we can, you know, learn more about you, your writing, and your books. So thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us today. So,
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
anytime. So, Scott, we'll go right there with that first question, my friend. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Oh man, so I had to really
Start
think
with the
about
hard one
this.
first.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess most of my life has been filled with art. Did a lot of drawing as a kid. I have a, I well, I had, I guess I still do have a bad stutter. And so as a kid, I really had a really bad stutter, and I struggled to kind of rein it in. It's a lot easier now, as you can tell. And so I guess art was more of a way to, I guess, not just express myself, but kind of just get things off my mind. And you know, I just kind of just want to tell stories. That's all I really want to do. I just want to entertain people. I always wanted to entertain people. I'm always the DM. I'm always, you know, I'm never the player, unfortunately. It'd be great to be a player.
That's a
But
great t-shirt, by the way.
yeah, I
Like,
know.
always the DM, never
No,
the
always the DM. I think I've
player.
been a player three times,
Oh,
but
wow.
I just like making up stories. I like entertaining. I like telling stories. I like cool characters. I like cool villains. And really, that's kind of where it evolved from. A few years back, I got really involved with social media, and I tried my hand at like pixel art and
Oh, okay.
some, I guess, just illustration. I got really good at that, and a lot of the stuff that I was doing, I was actually doing for a game company that I had started with
Oh,
some
cool.
friends, and we were going to make an RPG, but we also had day jobs, and
I
that all fell
know
apart.
that
Yeah.
feeling.
But a lot of concepts came out of that, and I found that I really enjoyed writing a lot more actually than the art. I really like art still. I still sketch, I still draw, I still paint, but I just really enjoyed, you know, the written word, that medium. And I started off writing horror, which is, you know, strange because I don't think I've ever talked about that anywhere. Like really dark horror. But like growing up, huge Stephen King fan, like Duma Key, I love that book. It Love that book. I love all the Stephen King books. But I started off writing horror, and you know, it wasn't like anything serious. And then I went into cosmic horror with like a cyberpunk twist,
Oh, that's
which
cool.
was really odd. And then I reconnected with some friends, and they were authors. I was like, oh, maybe I could do this too. I wasn't really serious about it. I was more, I want to get my story out there. I want people to read it, but I don't really, I wasn't really hoping for anything. I just want to get my ideas out there. So I got involved in this group. Shammy Stovall, John Stovall, they invited me to their writing group,
Oh, cool.
kind of showed me the ropes and, how to self-publish and do all this stuff. So it kind of snowballed into this reality, and now I'm working my day job as a programmer, and then on my free time I'm writing stories. And I'm really not sure how I got here, but I'm glad I did. I mean, my right now I'm just trying to get my word count up. I'm just trying to write as much as possible. My grammar still sucks. My spelling still sucks, but that's what editors are for, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah,
But
that's
yeah, now
totally
it's a
fair.
reality.
Well, that's super cool. I'm wagging my finger at Shamia and John right now. How dare you keep Scott from us? Okay. But I think that's so funny. Like, it's so funny because I had said that. I think I said that before Shamia and I got done recording our second episode a couple, like, I think it was like almost a week ago, a week and a half ago. So it's teasing before I got recorded. I was like, how dare you guys hide Scott? I was like, you guys are supposed to be telling me about each other, not, like, oh, I didn't even think of that, so I thought that was really funny. And yeah, so I think that's really cool though. But you did bring up a couple really good points that I just want to mention for our audience. I thought it was funny you're like free time, but now that you're an author, right? Like a writer, you're like, there's no real such thing because
No,
you're
there's
like,
not.
I gotta go write. I feel guilty when I don't now. So I think I just thought that that was funny. I laughed. I was like, I remember when I had free time, and now my wife's like, oh, are you writing? I was like, I know I should be. So
Yeah, that's very
I think it's
true. There's
funny.
a lot of
Yeah.
video games on my list that I want to play.
I
But
got
every time I start it up and I start playing, I'm like, oh man, I feel so guilty for playing this. I just need to go write. And so I end up turning it off and going to write because I don't know, I just can't get that guilt out of my head.
No, it's totally true because I
Yeah,
literally like I
it's
was
a
playing
problem.
Skyrim last or 2 years ago for my son was born, and I was like, oh yeah. And then once he was like, him and my wife were settled, my wife's like, oh yeah. And I was like, I want to do two things, maybe three. Like, I will spend time with my son, and then when he's doing something now, I'll write, like in a chair or something, on my phone or whatever, or I'll pull the laptop out, or I'll read. Like, I've had such a hard time getting back into TV shows and video games. TV's been a little bit easier. Movies, like I've watched like maybe six movies if it's not with my son. Like, I've been doing a better job with TV shows, but my wife and my friends are like, you need to like kind of experience some of those other people's and those mediums again. But it's really hard because I'm like, I'd rather just write. And it's hard to,
I
watch a
agree.
movie in, 20-minute segments or something, but I can write how many writing sprints, in that time. So
Oh
if I
yeah.
am doing something, especially lately, I'm like, I'm just writing. So, but I don't know. I think it is interesting that, how your mind shifts a little bit,
It
if that
does.
makes sense. But
And
yeah.
I mean, it's all background. I mean, it's still there. I still get the general gist of what the show's about, but it's usually just background stuff. I usually have my computer on my lap and I'm just going anyway.
Oh
So,
yeah.
I think the last movie I seriously watched was, and I can't even remember now. I think the new Deadpool movie
Oh
was the last
yeah.
one we watched that I actually sat down and like didn't do anything,
Oh
but
yeah.
that's pretty much it.
I think I watched I've done I'm almost done. I watched it when I had surgery on my mouth, and then I got most of it done. It was like the new Ghostbusters, and then we showed it on
Oh yeah.
Halloween here. I got to like 35 minutes away from finishing. I'm like, I just have to at some point. But which one I actually sat down and watched like last spring, which I loved, was that new Predator.
Oh yeah.
It was so good. And then after that, I was like, oh, I want to watch like Alien again. So I watched Alien again. And then I watched like a third movie. I can't remember. But I remember like I tried watching Rebel Moon, like part one, and I was just like, I'm going to bed. And then after that, I was like,
Yeah.
I'm just gonna write instead. So I would like to try and go back at some point for part one and part two and get a couple other things. A lot of times when I have time, I'm just like background noise, like I'll just throw on Among Thieves, and I'm just good to go. Like, I know it enough, where now I can just like write and still enjoy the movie at the same time. But that's like my background movie now. It used to be Two Towers for me, but now it's that one. But yeah, I totally get it. I definitely would just much rather. My wife,
Oh,
she was,
yeah.
you would rather write, and she knows I want to be a stay-at-home dad. Like, if at any point, like I have like 2 more years where like the next 2 years after this school year, the next 2 school years, like as long as I work for New York Public Schools, I can get like my loans taken care of. But I said to my wife, I was like, if somebody offered me like a big contract, like I want to do hybrid, if somebody was like, yeah, bam, here you go, I'm like, 2 years after that, I'm like, see ya. Because like I would just love, with like hopefully I have a second kid, but like I would love just to be like, all right, pick my other kid up from daycare, take care of the other one, have a babysitter come. I know a couple authors that have done that, and they've made 100K in a year because they're just writing that much and that successfully. I'm like, oh, my wife, like she's like, I know it's the dream of yours, and I would much rather be home with my son than doing anything else. But one of these days, if anybody wants to offer Scott a contract to me, like let us know. Like we're looking and viable. So
That'd be
sorry,
great.
Scott, I spoke for you,
No,
but
that would be great.
a six
I mean,
figure
I do love my
contract.
job, but
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, 6-figure contract is hard to pass up.
Well, I don't want to say spread people's business, but it was funny. Like one of I we had this opening week for freshmen, right? So they're like, oh, authors, like who's the biggest name you can get? And I was like, I think I can get like these people without having to talk to their agents. So I actually talked to one of them, and they came and told my kids, like all about, the process and, not quitting, and didn't know what they want to do at their age too. But then one of the things that came out of it was how much their contract was. I was like, oh my God, you
Yeah.
got a six figure contract, like a 3 year six figure contract for one book. I was like, a guy can dream,
Yeah, I
like,
know.
I don't need
One
six
day.
figures. I just need to be able to cover my salary,
One day
So.
would be, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that leads us kind of like right into also talking, just some, in terms of, movies, media, things like that, just in terms of genres. What genre or genres are you currently writing in, and why?
So I guess, well, I mean, right now it's mainly sci-fi just because I'm trying to finish at least book three of Stellar Air. But I do dabble in fantasy. And right now I actually have an epic fantasy I'm working on.
Oh, cool.
It's like a dark epic fantasy just because I'm a really big fan of like Dark Souls,
Oh, so
Dark
they're the
Souls
best
series.
kind.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
I love like the worlds. I guess I love the lore, how it's kind of, it's not spoon-fed to you.
Yeah,
It's given to you in these little pieces that you put together, and it's kind of up for interpretation. It's not really like, it's there's not really a solid foundation of lore. I don't think that would translate well into a novel, but I think it works for the video games. And so I just really like that dark world where there's survivors and it feels lived in. It feels like there's denizens that are there that don't really care about you at all.
No,
That are,
totally.
that are just trying to go about their life. And then when they encounter you, they're like, oh, what are you? You're some other. And then they try to attack you. But that's really my inspiration for my epic fantasy.
Oh, that's
And
cool.
then my sci-fi is, obviously Star Wars. Star Wars is my big inspiration. Like Return of the Jedi is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, heck yeah.
And like the Old Republic games and like any media
Oh,
of the
yeah.
Old Republic. Like I love the Darth Revan story. I
Yeah.
love the choices you can make. I even love that MMO that they made a couple years back, like in
Oh, yep,
2012.
yep, yep. Yeah.
Sorry, Cattail.
That's all right.
Even the stuff like the Thrawn trilogy, I
Oh,
love
yeah.
that when like Luke just keeps going, and all the one-off stories like with, oh man, the bounty hunter stories. Like I
Oh,
love those bounty
yeah.
hunter stories with like Bosk and Dengar, like the lesser known bounty hunters, not just Boba Fett. Like Boba Fett's cool, but like IG-88, that robot bounty hunter.
Oh,
I
yeah. Yep.
don't know if people know, but he took over the Death Star at one point. So, I mean, just stuff like that, it really inspires me to make like an expansive galaxy, like an expansive universe. I just really like the idea of having just a giant galaxy of lore where people can dig into it. And then even the Dark Souls thing, like even in Stellar Air, there's some things that I gave just enough lore where people can interpret it. but I didn't really make it to where it's solidified. So, you know, people can have discussions on it. People can interpret it how they want. But, you know, then there's other things that are like hard sci-fi, like Fold Space and things like that, that you you can't really, you know, get out of. But I just like space operas, and that's what inspired me to write in the sci-fi genre, and like cyberpunk elements. I just really love that whole world of like expanding human, I guess, what's that called? I guess just expanding the human experience, adding cybernetics, adding, you know, adding more memory, adding better eyes, better hearing, things like that. So I just like to clump all that, into one thing. Yeah, I know I could use that right now too.
That's awesome. You did say something there that I think is totally true with like the epic, like dark fantasy, as I agree totally is, I was listening to, like a much older podcast, and they were referencing like, you know, like Robert E. Howard and things, and some other people at that time, both, I think, with like, you know, like Sword and Sorcery, but then a lot of those early like dark fantasy authors, in particular. And they made a good point where they said, part of the fun of a dark fantasy is adding the unknown.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what I connect with too, is like, you know, things aren't definite, in the world, and there is a lot of ambiguity, but they made a good point that like that adds to the dark part of it, if that makes sense. And it's kind of like the dark ages, right? And that's like where a lot of that inspiration came from. So it's a lot of this, like, you know, you don't exactly know how the magic works in Glenn Cook's The Black Company, but that's part of what I think makes it really interesting, right? And there's other things about the world, like we know quite a bit, but there's so many things you don't know.
Oh yeah.
But I think that just adds to the stress, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
as you're reading those books. And I agree with you. I think that's what's so fun about dark fantasy, is like, it's great in a world like Sanderson's, right, where you know how every single thing works. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there's, which I do think that's cool, but I don't know. I was much more into the other like kind of stuff in that early Sword and Sorcery. But I agree. Like I do like to write that way too, because it's what I like about the genre, is like I explain it, but maybe I don't go super far into it. But I think like being able to fill in those gaps as a reader with your experience is really fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and you get a lot of different interpretations, but I think that's what makes it the genre so much fun, or the subgenre, whatever you want to say.
Well, it's fun for me too as a writer. Like, I've already heard like speculation about Stellar Air, and
oh, that's cool.
Just stuff from that, and it's just, I don't know, it's just fun for me to hear what people think, and then they think that I have an idea. It's like, I know, I had zero idea what I was doing.
What's like have you read Galaxy's Edge at all?
Oh yeah.
So the second actual book that they published, I'm totally gonna blank on it, but it's like you get, it's like a Han Solo like bounty hunter versus like what's his name, Pedro Pascal, like the Mandalorian, like Mando. Like you get two of their characters, and then there's like a third character. Well, one of the characters has like a story arc on like this, they were like a gunfighter or whatever, like now they are, but they used to be like part of like an elite special forces unit, like, and they have to like rescue this princess, and it's like on this world of a fallen civilization. And then the fallen civilization that like goes to attack them. But like, this is not a primary plot, right? This is a secondary, like a subplot that you find more stuff out about this like character. And I'm like, I want to read that freaking book.
Right. You
know? Like, and it was so cool, right? But it's the same thing like you're saying. It's a prime example of like giving somebody something, you know, like just enough. But then I'm like, okay, like, how did this fallen civilization get there? Like, there's always questions that I have. You know? And I'm like, I want to read that book. So then part of me is like, I have to write that type of book later, you know, to like satisfy. So I think that's what's so cool about what you're saying. You know, like somebody like me can read it and then be like, oh, I have this idea. Even if it's not in your universe, right? Like, I might have to do something similar. And I think that's really cool how different authors can spring ideas into their readers, or it could be, you know, their readers who are writers as well, or artists. I think that's really cool what you're doing. So that's neat.
It's funny you say that, and funny you mentioned like Rebel Moon, because when I watched it, I thought the cinematography was great, but the story kind of it fell flat for me.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
some of the parts, though, I was like, why not tell that story? That's the story I want to hear. Like
Yeah.
her, like the man, I forget the main character's name, but
Oh, she was
her
awesome.
life, yeah, her life before. I would love to
Yeah.
hear that story.
Yeah, like where was that story?
Yeah,
That's what I
where was
want to
that story?
know.
That's what I want
Yeah.
to, yeah, that's what I want to hear. And so, yeah, I agree with you. Like, those are the kind of stories that I like, and it's what I crave. But when I can't find it, I just have to write it. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I had a story the other day, or a couple, not the other day, it feels like, but like in the summer where I was like, oh, like there was this really cool city guard, and he was basically like, oh, it was like from Justin Lee Anderson's The Lost War. And there was like a character in there, and he was a secondary, not even secondary character, like he was like third, right? But he was really cool, and I was like, oh, I wonder what he would be like in a different situation. He was very loyal. You know, very smart, and he was like trying to figure out this murder, but didn't have all the pieces. And the main character's trying to help him, but I was like, oh, that it just stuck with me. And I started writing a novella with like a different setting. I was like, I want to see what a Mughal dynasty fantasy setting would be like, and put this character as a city guard in it. And I did, and it ended up being like really fun. I'm like, dang it, now I have to
Nice.
finish this novella, and I have a bunch of them. And it's kind of like Thraxus, was a really cool character, back in like early 2000s. It's kind of like he's like a Harry Dresden, but
Oh, yeah.
like very light magic, but in like a sword and sorcery setting. And he's got this barbarian like female warrior friend, and it's just like it's super fun. And I was like, oh, that's just really cool. So I do think that's what's really neat about being a writer is that most people don't understand, right? Like you take this flavor of something. It's like being a chef, right? You take
Yes.
this recipe, this, and then you come up with something new, something like, like your books, which I think is so
Yeah.
cool, that, or a universe, or an idea. And that's what's fun about being a writer, right? Is you get to do
Oh yeah.
that. So, yeah, it's super
Just
cool.
one dash of this, one dash of that, and then you have totally new concepts, a totally new concept.
Well, it's like Cameron Johnston, right? With like the Maleficent Seven. Like,
Oh
I
yeah.
love the Seven Samurai. I love Magnificent Seven, any reiteration, whether it's the new one, the old one that used to be in USA, the in-between ones. I mean, just like whatever it is, right? I just think that's such a cool idea. And I was just like, dang, that's really, really neat. So I think that, yeah, I think it's totally right. But like you said, right? Like it's kind of hard to really do something original.
It is.
So I think just having the different flavors enough, right? Like there's a lot of different flavors of ice cream, right? Of strawberry, but I go and try different ones because even though I know it's going to be strawberry, some are better than that
Yeah,
previous one, right? So I
exactly.
always think of books the same way. Some people, my younger kids are like, well, my students are like, well, why should I write if somebody has written Star Wars? And I'm like, well, here's Stella Air, here is this, here is this. And I think, Dune. I'm like, do you like Dune? They're like, yeah. I'm like, then what would have happened if somebody, if you Frank was like, oh, Star Wars already happened. I'm not gonna write Dune.
Oh,
And I'm like, we would have missed out on a totally different flavor of, like space opera. And then think of all those subsequent ones too, right? Like, people like yourself, and myself who are writing because of those flavors, to come up with a new flavor. So I think that's what makes, art and writing so cool is you get to come up with something, that's the same, and pulls back to those roots, but also, is very different. So it's really cool.
yeah.
So I want to get in talking about your books here more. So my favorite question to ask people. So we'll actually go with the first two here because you got some other books too that I definitely want to talk about. So what are your books, Stellar Air and Syndicate Moon, about, and how'd you come up with this idea?
So Stellar Air, I mean, is a space opera. At its foundation, it's the culmination of my love for like space video games, whether it's movies, books, whatever media, art, just anything space opera combined with martial arts movie, like the old Bruce Lee movies, Enter the Dragon, Fist of Fury, or like Jackie Chan's Drunken Master, or like the recent ones with Jet Li's kid, like Kiss the Dragon, or even like John Wick. Like I really love like the John Wick series. And it's just I wanted to kind of mesh those two together
That's cool.
and make like a sci-fi martial arts flick. I mean, Star Wars kind of does that with your Jedi and your I guess they're kind of based on loosely based on real sword forms. But I wanted a real, like, the word? It's not gritty, but like a real grounded martial arts
Oh,
based
yeah.
sci-fi.
Yeah.
And there's also gunplay in Stellar Air 2, and a lot of inspiration I did take from John Wick, where he does have like the melee brawling intermixed with the gunplay
Oh,
as
cool.
he's just fighting his way through. There are scenes with Jael, the main character of Stellar Air, where he is fighting his way through corridors, and I took a lot of inspiration from John Wick, or even oh man, I forget the name. Oh, Daredevil, the
Oh,
series
yeah. That
on
hallway scene
yeah,
was just
I know.
amazing.
That scene on the
Oh.
Netflix show was great, and I
Yeah.
took a lot of inspiration from that, just because I like those real methodical, I don't want to say slow, but I guess it was purposeful, I guess. Yeah, like a purposeful fight. And I wanted to bring that into like a sci-fi setting, and I needed a reason, and I gave, you know, people shields. It's kind of like Dune, how they gave a reason for them to have a melee weapon still, even though they're
Oh,
tech like technologically advanced. You know, in Stellar Air, they have shield generators, they have you know, they have armor, they have things like that. So they still have a reason to use melee combat in war or in fighting. So I made sure to cover all my bases there. But Stellar Air 1 kind of sets up that foundation of the universe where there's, it's a universe that has gone through three system wars. Like the whole entire galaxy has been in war like three times. So basically everyone versus everyone. It's coming off of that. Everything's still kind of semi-dystopian. They're still reeling from that. There's Jael himself is an orphan from that war, taken in by these warrior monks, where a lot of the orphans went. So there's a lot of these people that know these different arts in the universe, which I wanted so that he could fight them. So I guess it does. There's a lot of inspiration here. Like Dragon Ball Z too. I wanted some like rivals, some friends to enemies, or enemies to friends and friends to enemies. And Stellar Air just sets up the universe, sets up the villains, and then Syndicate Moon, I take all that and pump it up to 10.
That's
Like,
awesome.
so all the cyberpunk elements are pumped up to 10. Syndicate Moon takes place on like a moon spanning city, or in a moon spanning city that orbits like a gas giant. There's crime syndicates that rule the entire moon. So I guess think Nar Shaddaa from Star Wars, just a criminal organization just runs everything. And Jael and the crew get sucked into this game that the syndicates play every so often, and for control over these star lanes in and out of the systems, which they use to smuggle, you know, illicit goods and things like that. And they get caught up in this, and it's a competition for survival. And there's a lot of intrigue, there's a lot of Jael kind of being used as a pawn, and him realizing it, and him kind of trying to break free. The first book is more of a found family overcoming like adversity, coming of age, whereas this one is him breaking free of being like a pawn in this giant galactic game, trying to kind of break out on his own, being himself. And so I really dive into a lot of that, but I'm just really excited for everyone to read the second one because I think it's better than the first one, if that makes any sense.
No,
Yeah.
no, well, totally.
But
That just sounds awesome. I'm just thinking, like, from Star Wars, like Kurt Kanis, like the Royal Guard, right? Like the best of the best, and then he gets like they kind of took that like spy kind of thing where he just
Oh, yeah.
gets like burned by the empire, right? But like, it's so funny because like you said that, like with the martial arts and stuff, because like he even rivals some of the Jedi that are still around, right? Like during like after ROJ or like Return of the Jedi. So I think that's so interesting because for me, that was the type of character where I'm like, I would love to see him, like in a different setting,
Yeah.
or like those types of skills. But it sounds like that really, is like really like, is what you've done. So I think that that's just like super, super cool. And just such a cool idea. I was actually just thinking about this the other night and I was like, I love like that aspect of him. I love, I don't know. I liked that aspect too in Rebel Moon, where she's just like whooping everybody's butt with their style martial art. I just think martial arts in like a space opera is just really
Oh
cool.
yeah.
I've seen so
Oh
many
yeah, they
times,
just go
right? Where
together.
and like even like Equilibrium, right? With like
Oh yeah.
Christian Bale, with the guns and everything. Like I know it was like pre John Wick, pre JW, but yeah, there's just so many great examples of that, right? Where it's just really cool to see. But I think it makes sense, right? Like you were saying, with whether it's Shields or whatever, but like Star Wars does a good job of that too, right?
They
Where
do.
you might have Jedi, but then you have, different materials that lightsabers can't get through, you know, Yuzen Vong, stuff. Like
You just
there's
have the
just
force that just stops bullets and
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
lasers.
just all sorts of stuff, right? That just like even people that don't have the force, right?
Oh,
Like
yeah.
you have the vibro blades, that can withstand, or the armor. I don't know. I think you're totally right. Like it's just fun because I'm always like, when I was younger, I was like, oh, you have the force, you have a lightsaber.
Yeah.
But then, reading the comics and books, you're like, oh, like that kind of thing where you're more creative, I think, is
Yep.
really cool. So a lot of things you said, I think, really set up a lot of cool expectations for us, and that I do think are really well founded in the genre already,
Oh yeah.
like so. But I think you're doing them in cool ways that will give us something. I'm thinking like the raid too, right, where he's going through and just having those
Yes.
longer fight scenes, like that in space, like and someone's like, I gotta see what that's like. I'm like, I have to see what that's like because I think that just sounds really, really
No,
awesome.
I
So
love
that's
those
super
kind of
cool.
fight scenes, and I mean, you're totally right with like the Jedi and their abilities, and a lot of people don't know that like they're not the end all be all in the Star Wars universe. Like, there's a lot of people that can rival the Jedi, even like the best of the best. Maybe not, some of them, but they I kind of wanted that same feel. Like, yeah, these monks, these warrior monks are good, but they're not like the end all be all. Like, there's soldiers, there's there's machines, there's people that can beat and beat them, and Jael does get beat, and he takes a beating in the book a lot. So I didn't want him to be like super immortal. So,
Well, I think it's funny where like Qui-Gon Jinn even says, right, like the whole like Phantom Menace, like when he says there's always a bigger fish.
oh,
I
yeah.
think it's the Jude Watson Jedi Apprentice books, but like the reason he says that, or she goes back and makes a joke about it, was like the reason he said that was because like he was teasing Obi-Wan. It's somewhere in the lore. Somebody can go find it. But like at some point, like Qui-Gon says that like essentially to Obi-Wan, like there's always somebody better. And then I don't know. She like I think it was Jude Watson made like a joke about it from Phantom Menace. But I just think it's so true, right? So there's always like in
Oh
martial
yeah.
arts we say it all the time, right? There's always somebody better. Like I was just listening to somebody talk like 2 days ago on a podcast. They're like, there's always somebody better. And this guy's like an 8-time world champion, for his division and stuff. So, but it's totally true, right? And especially you're talking about planet Earth. Now, when you're talking about different,
Yeah.
galaxies, like there's definitely going to be somebody better. So I think that makes total sense. But it's so cool, right, for you to be able to, pit them against each other and, for us to see the outcome. So I think that's super neat. Yeah, that's really cool. And I know we got a couple more books to talk about, but
Oh
I will
yeah.
definitely, definitely come back to characters and world building here in just a sec. But I have to know, what are your Lich Corps and Void Corps books about, and how did this concept come about? Because it just sounds really cool.
Those are my first ones. Lich Corps actually came about inspired from actually John Stovall. He actually helped me with these. Just get my foot in the door with writing. And he actually, turned me on to the like the lit RPG space, the dungeon core space. And I didn't know anything about it before this. And So once he told me about it, I went home and started listening to, audiobooks, reading books, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And our group did a Dungeon Core January where we all just wrote a chapter of Dungeon
Oh,
Core.
that's cool.
And some of us continued, and I was one of the people that continued, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna write this. And so I wrote Lich Core and Void Core. I really like undead in fantasy settings.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I can't tell you why.
They're just
In
cool.
World, yeah, they're just cool. In World of Warcraft, I play an undead, so I just really like undead. So that's what I did Lich Core on. He was a lich and got turned into a dungeon core. I guess for those who don't know what dungeon core is, it's basically a sentient dungeon that builds upon itself. Think D&D, I guess, instead of the main character being an adventurer, the main character is the dungeon. In my story, there is adventurer POVs, so like it goes back and
Oh, that's
forth.
cool.
The villain in Lich Core is kind of lazy. He's an interdimensional being that is trying to that turned Lich into a dungeon core to open a gate for his bosses. But he really likes Earth life, so he's just like drinking wine most of the time and not really doing much.
Awesome.
So basically, it's just about Lich building upon himself, building like monsters, building traps, building rooms. It really helps that I have DM experience with Dungeons and Dragons. I took a lot from that. Yeah, Lich Core is just a fun romp through a dungeon. The adventuring party isn't like your typical, tank, knight in shiny armor type, like elf and stuff. It's a goblin, it's a troll, it's a bird person and a lizard folk. So they're kind of outcasts
Oh, that's cool.
in this world, and they are adventuring through this dungeon. And so the dungeon and these adventurers are growing together. So yeah, it's just a semi feel good kind of dark fantasy lit RPG dungeon core. It's hard to describe.
I totally forgot that you did them because I remember I looked at them originally and then I just totally forgot. So when I was looking the other day, back at the blurbs, for Cell Air and Syndicate Moon, I was like, oh, that's right. And I was like, I completely forgot to ask Scott like what these were like ahead of time. So I was doing some research. I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting. So I don't know. I as a DM, I think it's pretty neat, when people can write about their experiences, and use their game or game knowledge, in a different way, particularly in lit RPG,
Yeah.
I don't know. I just always think it's cool because I don't think we always know how we can, use some of our experiences or our knowledge to write, and I always tell my kids too, like we just talked about this today, we're like, more than you actually think you do, and I think
Oh,
that's a
yeah.
lot of writers. But like Patricia Briggs did a great job. She apparently knows a lot about horses or horse buying and breeding. She put it into one of her books for Mercy Thompson. I think it was like 4 books ago or whatever, and I was just like, what's going on here? But like you could tell like she either researched a lot or already knew the like it was so flipping interesting, like learning how they did the industry and stuff. And it was only like they just went to the place, right? It wasn't like something she had to spend a lot of time on. But I was like, my friend and I were like, we love her books. We're like, that was so interesting is to learn something that if you put that in front of me, you're like, here's $20, I'd be like, I love horses, but I'm not gonna pay attention to this. But she used her, experience to great effect, to teach you something and to really push the story along. It was like masterfully done. So I don't know. I think it's always cool because we have a lot of, DMs that come on the show or, and players and stuff. So
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we just don't know how to use, what we know to write. So I just wanted to point that out because I think that's a really cool way and interesting way to
Yes.
do it. So it was really neat.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the charm with like Dungeon Core and Lit RPG is that it doesn't necessarily have to be like this cut and dry, like stereotypical RPG. It could be stuff that and it can be entertaining, like with what you just said, the horses. I would have never thought that I would be interested in half the stuff I've read in Lit RPG, but you know,
Oh, it's true.
I
No,
am.
that's a good point.
And you, I think if the author's passionate about something and they're writing about it, I don't think it matters if someone really knows or wants to know about it. It just kind of comes through, I feel, most of the time.
No, I totally agree. And I think like if you I think a lot of times like I have a lot of students that are like, oh, I don't really care about history, but I'm like, why do you do so well in my class then? They're like, well, you care about it. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, well, you're passionate about it. So then I just get kind of into it. But then once I leave, I'm kind of like, all right, whatever. But when I'm in there, they're like, you make me do the thing. Then they're like, it's your passion that makes you do it. So I just think of that so much as a writer that like there's things that I might not necessarily care about or characters, right? But if you are passionate about them in your writing, and do a good job with your writing, then your reader will pick up on that too. So I think about that all the time. Honestly, like that's one piece of advice I can give people, from a teacher is like if you're passionate enough about something and do it well, like people will definitely follow you and follow where you're going with it. So I just I think it's really interesting that you guys did that. And I think people should definitely check it out. So it definitely got me interested in checking it out, even as like a writing exercise. Because you never know what you come up with, right? Or
No,
what
I agree.
characters, and adventures and stuff. So I think that's
Well,
really
there should
cool.
be a third one. I should be able to finish out the series next year.
Oh, cool.
It took
Oh,
a
that's awesome.
hiatus. I had some health issues after
Oh, been there.
after I released the second one, and I kind of took a hiatus for like a year and a half of doing anything. So it's next year. I'm hoping to finish off the series, and so there should be another something core somewhere coming soon.
Oh, that's super cool. It's so funny that you mentioned that because I had some of the other like, I thought you had novella. I was like, I had three oral surgeries. I was like, you guys are lucky I'm like able to talk. Like I'm like finally able to like not feel like you're, like pinching my face. So I totally get it. It's like people understand like how draining it is, right?
Oh, I
To
know.
And I would say mine was like minor, and people around me were like, no, nah, it wasn't so minor. I'm like, oh, I felt like it was minor compared to having surgery a couple of years ago and stuff. And some of my friends have had such major ones or, or health issues. I'm like, I was like, I was actually feeling good about what I had, so I definitely understand that. But yeah, definitely sets you back. But
Oh yeah, and
yeah.
writing on painkillers is not
Oh
really
my God, dude.
conducive. Like I've submitted some of my writing on painkiller, and they're like, I don't even know what you're trying to talk about here, sir.
I had somebody, they're like, I had a alpha reader. They're like, I think you should go back and rewrite this last chapter. And I like went and read it after I was feeling better. I was like, I totally understand. I was like, I'm so glad they were looking out for me. But that's awesome. Well, I look forward to checking those out because I have the other two. I have Stellar Air, and then I pre-ordered Syndicate Moon. So I'm looking
Nice.
forward to checking out Lich Corps and Void Corps. That Lich Corps in particular for me really sounded really, really interesting because I too love liches and undead. Like I'm like kind of addicted to them in fantasy. So I just think they're cool. But that kind of leads us. I just want to kind of ask those two questions because this leads us into, a little bit deeper world building, fantasy tropes, things like that, and characters. But when it comes to world building in these different genres, what do you focus on the most and why?
I guess for me, I s just focused on the characters first. I guess the setting first. I come up with the concept first, and then I go into the characters, and I just make sure to flesh out their backgrounds, their personalities, like their wants, their desires, motivations, things, just little quirks. And then it kind of the world itself kind of pieces itself together. I mean, obviously there's holes left after that, but once I've done that, I feel like I have a better grasp of like where these characters fit in, and then I can take the world, even with those missing pieces, and kind of fill in those pieces, like make those connections where they need to be, maybe flesh out some things that aren't like necessarily like continuity based or anything, just make it like nice and fluid and cohesive. I guess just outlining like is great. And then, like I said before, I just sometimes I'll just plant the seeds in someone's mind, like the reader's mind, and just leave it up for interpretation. I'll give them just enough to kind of paint the picture. like the there's an alien race in Stellar, the Mortum. They're like a reptilian race that evolved on a swampy planet. But they're afflicted with a disease that like decays their body, and so they have to constantly repair themselves, repair their bodies. And they're ruled by like a feudal empire. And so I painted this picture of this alien civilization that has, they're splicing their selves with, to different limbs. They're fixing themselves, but they can't actually fix themselves. At the end of the day, they can't cure themselves. And that's partially why they're motivated to go out into the galaxy. They're highly advanced, but they can't save their species.
Interesting.
And I give the reader, I guess, just enough to kind of paint the picture, but not enough to actually flesh out the entirety of their civilization so that they can just fill in the rest. So that's kind of my world building philosophy. Like, there's some things that are important to me, like obviously just character personality, like the way the ship looks, like the Zigzagoonda, the main ship that Jael and the crew are in. Like, I wanted that to be very fleshed out to the point where you could probably draw it out if someone, read the book. You could lay do like the layout. You could see where everything ends. And then other things like the species I just said, it's more ambiguous. It's more, I think I don't even know if that's a word I just said.
We're gonna use it on a Monday.
Yeah, here we go. It's
It's
more,
canon now.
yeah, it's more out there, and just it's just up for interpretation. So yeah, that's my roundabout world building theory.
No, I actually think that makes total sense. I think you outlined it really well. I had like a D&D party, and I was like, I just want to do a dark fantasy, as I call it, like a fun fantasy.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I have all these great experiences from one of our adventures, and my friend and I had like, actually my friend, myself and my two friends had like just the funniest characters. And there was like a goblin that ended up joining us at one point with like a dog, like wolf character. I mean, it was just like hilarious hijinks ensued, you know? And I was like, I just started out though, because I was like, I just want like a different continent on one of my subsequent worlds, and I've only really written on one, so I thought, oh, this might be cool to do like a different one. And but I was like, each character is going to kind of tell me their backstory first, and then I'm going to actually look at the different countries. So I actually just use it as a writing exercise. And then I came up with like a northern country for my guy. My friend's dwarf was somewhere in between. And I came up with why that was. And then, you know, I just kind of filled in, and then I came up with some places that some things I thought that were really cool, some conflicts and stuff. And I'm a history teacher, so stuff just filled in. But like
Oh,
what
yeah.
you just said, I literally, that's just what I did. Like I was like, okay, this is the main setting, you know, this is the spot, and then this is kind of what's gonna happen. And the characters just it was so different than world building I've done before. And I felt like it was a lot tighter, but I also had like I have different empires and stuff where you're gonna think like one is like the whatever, Rohirrim or whatever in Lord of the Rings, and then you have like another one, you know, that's like the Roman Empire. And then there's like another one, you know what I mean? But it's like you'll know enough where you can fill that in, right? Like I'm
Yeah.
literally telling you, you know, certain things that you need to know. And then through the books, we'll kind of, you know, go on the map that way. But I literally drew the map based off of their experiences, and who the characters were, which I've never done before. And that was just, it was really cool. So I totally get what you're saying. I did that, and it was much different than what I've done before. But I have to say, like, that was the first time I let the characters just kind of tell me about the world. And then just Discovery kind of wrote the rest with some basic notes I wanted in there. And yeah, the rest was like just kind of filled itself in. It was really cool. So yeah, so I think that was a great way to explain it, because I just did that, and it was really, really neat. So highly, highly recommend that.
Oh yeah, it's fun too, just to let your characters go crazy. I mean, to a certain extent.
Because they definitely will, right?
They will, yeah.
My friend used to say, you have them go Morrowind, right? You have them just go and just do whatever they want, and then eventually The game will tell you, oh, you lost the game because you
Yeah.
know needed that person alive. You know,
Yep.
and
You
now we
just
know where the
killed
line
Vivek. You can't win the
is.
game now. Sorry. You're
Exactly.
done.
You know, yeah, you already know. My friend and I always say that. I'm like, well, how's it going? He goes, I pulled a Vivek. I'm like, oh God. I'm like, hopefully you can come back from that. He goes, I think the game is done. So I think that's a great way to put it. That's hilarious. But yeah, I think that makes total sense. And now I really gotta see your reptilians. So when it comes to, fun sci-fi and fantasy tropes, which ones are your favorite to write about and why?
So I find myself writing a lot of found family tropes in a lot of my books. Like even Lich Corps, the little outcast group of adventurers, just like I said, goblin troll. They're these outcasts that kind of come together, and you wouldn't really think they would get along, and sometimes they don't, but they end up working towards like the same goal, and they normally wouldn't even come together in other circumstances, but they do here, and they end up being more than a team. They end up being like a family by the end of it. I guess it's like a Guardians of the Galaxy kind of
Oh,
feel,
cool.
how they don't really, at first they don't really mesh very well, and they don't really see eye to eye. And they don't always see eye to eye. Even like the characters in Stellar Air, they still don't see eye to eye. But by the end of it, they become like a cohesive group. They become more than just a crew. They're a family, and they're not just working towards the same goal. Like, they would risk their lives for each other. And it's just I really like that idea of just different, I guess, species coming together, having vastly different ideas. I mean, Goni, the baboon lo looking one on the cover,
Oh, he's cool.
he gets most of his information on humans from old action flicks coming from this one planet.
That's
And so
awesome.
he thinks that, like, he's been friends with Jael for years, but he still thinks that Jael gets his food from like the sunlight. And so there's a lot of jokes on that. It annoys Jael, but at the end of the day, they're like brothers. So there's just a lot of just found family kind of tropes like that. I guess another one, I think this is a trope, but like humans or aliens.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Because like in Stellar Air, the galaxy isn't it's not originally like the Milky Way. It's just another galaxy where humans came in like a colony ship. Technically, they got lost and went through a gateway and ended up in this new galaxy. And so they've only been there for like 400 years. They're relatively young in the timeline of the galaxy. And so humans are treated as like aliens, basically. There's not a lot known about them. I mean, there is, but there's not at the same time. They're kind of looked down upon. They're kind of exotic, and they don't really have the space for themselves in this galaxy. Which leads to a lot of interesting writing things too. And then that also brings me like the dystopian trope. Like, there's that obviously ties into like that whole dystopian feel, because I guess it's dystopian for a lot of the species, except for like the Baogul, which are these toad entities that are basically overlords. So
Oh, cool.
yeah. Yeah, those are always kind of in my books. I'm not sure why. Even in my epic fantasy, there's like found family. I guess there's the chosen one trope is there too as well. I guess it's more of like a thrust upon chosen one, like you don't really have a choice. So, but yeah, I guess I just grew up with those tropes, just again from Star Wars, from even like Indiana Jones, like all those old action movies, all those old space opera movies I just grew up with. They all had those tropes, and so that's what that's what I'm used to.
Right, what you know. Well, even
Yeah.
like Flash Gordon, right?
Oh yeah.
No, I think that's really cool. It's funny that you say that with like the humans, because I feel like that's what was so cool about like Stargate, like the movie, right? Did such a good job, like really highlighting that like humans are the low point of the food chain here, right? And I think that's what the TV show did such a good job of, you know, where they're doing pretty good, but like at any point we need stronger allies, right? That's why they're trying to find like the Norse, you know, inspired Norse inspired aliens or whatever, you know, civilization or whatever to help come, you know, help us, you know, versus like the bad guys and stuff, the bad aliens or whatever. So yeah, I totally can see that. Like that's there's a lot of those kind of, you know, similar tropes, and all the fun stuff is like to say from the 80s to the early 2000s. So I think that makes total sense. So I gotta ask you before we get to that last question. So excuse me. Who is one character you have written that you would love to chat with, and what would you want to talk about?
Oh man, so this one was difficult.
Yes, that's fair.
I have a lot of characters that I would love to chat with, but I think the one that I would chat with is one of the villains from Stellar Era. That's Cadman Drift. And it's because he's, well, I guess he's immortal. I guess to put it lightly, I'm trying not to get too spoilery, but you know, it's within the first like 5 pages. So, you know,
If you haven't picked it up by now, then there's something wrong, guys.
and I just want to, he's a villain of circumstance. And like I said before, he's human. He was in that first colony ship. He's been around for a long time. I
Oh,
won't
cool.
tell anyone why, but he's been around for a long time. And he has created a group that is trying to carve out a space for humanity in this new galaxy. And sometimes they're viewed as pirates, sometimes they're viewed as raiders. But they fall into like this morally gray area, and a lot of people don't really find them very appealing because they are trying to just find, but at the end of the day, they're just trying to find somewhere to live, somewhere to call, like somewhere for humans to call their own. But just the fact that he's been around for so long, even though I created him and he's been around for so long, I would just want to talk to him and just sit down and just pick his brain on like what's the future of the Earth, because in Stellar Air, Earth is still around. It's just not in this galaxy. And
Oh, interesting. That's
it's
cool.
just like a myth, like, well, not really a myth, but like a story. The younger generation, it's not really tangible. It's not really something that it's more of just this concept of, oh, this is where the humans came from. Whereas for Cadman, it's, you know, it was his home. It's where he came from. He left it for some reason. I still don't know. I haven't come up with that yet. So
Yeah,
I
chat
don't
with them
know.
more, right?
I have to chat with him more. So he left it. He came this way. He turned into what he's turned into, because of his like fierce loyalty to humanity. And so he'd just be an interesting conversation to have, because some see him as like the savior, some see him as a tyrant, some see him as just this pirate. So it's just he would make an interesting just an interesting talk.
Yeah, no, totally. I could see that. Yeah, it's like any take any myth, right? I asked my kids earlier, like they had to like pick like one mythological figure that they thought came from like ancient Mesopotamia, and then we're like pointing them out because then later on, I'm paired with my friend, the English teacher. Like later on, we're actually going to compare and contrast different myths. So like when we get to Greek and Roman, right? We'll talk about like Heracles and then Hercules. But we'll compare him with Gilgamesh, right?
Oh,
So we're trying
cool.
to plant those seeds that, like, R.R. Verdi and I talked a lot about that in our interview, where, you know, you like a lot of those places, those people, once we get to more of our African and Indian, you know, like things, we'll see where actually those myths probably came from, those ones, you know, in those areas. So I always think it's really.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Also, okay. So
Apologize.
I think it's interesting because it would be cool to talk to him. And, you know, I think it's funny too. You're like, oh, I'm not sure. Like, because even though you created them, right? They are their own. Once they are their own character, right? It's funny because They might tell you something different later, right? And they'll always add on. It's like a friend, right? They add on to
Oh,
their
yeah.
own story. So I think that's why being an author is pretty cool, is that even though you create these characters, there's still a bunch that they could say or, tell you about themselves. And then, you relate that to your reader. So I always find that like a cool concept. But I know we're running out of time, so I'll make sure you got enough time here for that last one.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any news updates or current projects that you can share with us?
Well, I mean, obviously, I have Sin Syndicate Moon coming out. I also am in the process of outlining and writing Verdant Key, which is the third Stellar Air book.
Cool titles.
So, well, I'm trying not to just do like Stellar Air 1, 2, 3. I mean, it'll
Yeah.
still say Stellar Air 2, Book 2, Stellar Air Book 3, but I'm trying to just do, some different ones, just titles that correlate with what's happening in the book.
No, that's totally fair.
I have a couple fantasies coming out. Trickster's Curse. It's about a mage who gets turned into a mouse by a
Oh,
trickster
cool.
god and has
Oh, that's
to
awesome.
do this feat of not strength, but a feat of like a test. And he's just being manipulated by this trickster god this whole time. Or multiple gods are playing with him, basically. There's Arcane Skies, which I'm really excited about. It's a story about a boy who lives in a world that has magic, but magic has been taken away. And so they have to make machines, like Magitek machines, to actually use anything.
Oh, that's cool.
So they harvest essence from different plants, different things like that, and they use this to power the machines. There's a lot of flying. Obviously, it's all going to be like taking place. It's basically Pirates in the Sky. A
Oh, awesome.
lot of flying machines, a lot of things like that. Floating islands. It's going to be very Treasure Islandy, Pirates of the Caribbean. I just really like pirates, and I really like fantasy, so I wanted to just combine those two.
Oh, that's cool.
And I have another one, like the epic fantasy I was talking about, In the Shadow of the Eidolon. That's a working title. I'm not really sure what I'm gonna call it yet, but it's on its way.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you have me at Pirates.
Yeah, no, I love pirates too.
And then you said in the sky. So I was like, I am so there. So
Yeah.
Treasure Planet had me like always
Oh,
after
I
that, like
know. That was
wanting
one
more
of my favorite
pirates.
movies.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was afraid I went back a while back and rewatched it, but that's super cool. I just wanted just to mention, just to our audience, you can find all of Scott's links, books, and socials in the description below. And I just want to make sure I had because this is we're about mid-February right now. When this interview is going to come out. So, Scott, it is March 4th still on Amazon for pre-order for Syndicate Moon. Is that a solid date there then for us?
Unless I
Oh,
can
knock on
get,
wood.
yeah,
Sorry.
unless I can get, no, if anything, it would be earlier.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, if I can get it, if I can get the editors to get back to me earlier, and there's not a lot of rewrites, then maybe it'll come out like a week or two early. If not, then yeah, March 4th will be the
Cool.
date.
Well, I just wanted to point that out because it is going to be relatively close to this interview. So just make sure you guys, of course, check out Stellar Air if you've not seen it all over my social media or Scott's and in our group, of course, our podcast group on Facebook. But just want to make sure that, you guys definitely, took a look at book two as well, Syndicate Moon. Just want to make sure everybody's reviewing any products that, you buy or read or listen to or watch of, authors or creatives like Scott. That's going to be our biggest push. That has you want to know how you can help somebody, all right, who who's a creative or an author, like that's going to be the number one thing you can do. And also, just as a reminder, helps us to help everybody that helps us. Authors, have editors, copywriters, artists, voice actors that we've had on here before, right? It just helps everybody in general. So if you guys could keep helping with that push, that'd be very terrific. Scott, thank you so much for coming on today. This was great. Got
Oh
my
yeah,
writer
thank
brain
you.
a whirling. So I think I only got a couple sprints in me today because I got a lot more work to
Nice.
do. But I'll definitely get some fun stuff down. I know already. So Yeah, but thank you so much for coming on. If there's anything I can do, you know, you just send to me on, you know, Facebook Messenger, put it in the podcast group or email me, and
Awesome.
you know, we'll do our best to get it out there and to get the word out. But if there's anything else I can do for you, you just let me know, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you so much for inviting me. I had a
Yeah,
great
for
time today.
sure. Yeah. I
Yeah.
look forward to seeing some of those other ideas, and yeah, I love your titles. Yeah, I love your
No, thank
titles.
you. Yeah.
So it's always hard for me to title stuff. So I'm like, dang it, Scott's got another cool title. I
Well, I
gotta get
won't
better
tell you how long it took me to make those
at that.
titles.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, Scott. And I'm sure I'll talk to you on social media soon or in the Facebook group. But other than that, hope you have a great rest of the day, and I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you so much, you too.
Yep. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.